Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is David Linden.
Good morning.
And we are having a wonderful, wonderful conversation with Abby Stokes, who is the author of Is This Thing On?, which is the title from 20 years ago, whenever it was originally written, and the updated version, Is This Thing On?, A Friendly Guide to Everything Digital for Newbies, Technophobes, and the Kicking and Screaming. And just in the first segment, I learned something. And the important thing that people have to listen to is, not listen to, pay attention to, is by listening, you learn something all the time.
Yes.
And the important stuff that Abby puts across, because in this world of technology and the scams and, unfortunately, the people trying to take advantage of you, you have to be diligent and take your time. Abby had just said about moving the mouse up to the address of the sender, which I think that one thing is phenomenal. I never knew it.
Yes, you'll find out who it is. It's not American Express. It's some kid sitting in Uzbekistan who's trying to scam you.
Or next-door neighbor.
Or your next-door neighbor, yes, that's true.
Abby, some other tips for people trying to shop online?
I also think if people are, nobody should ever do what they're not comfortable doing. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to online shop, for heaven's sake, don't do it. But if you do, start with stores that you're familiar with three-dimensionally and go to their websites. L.L. Bean, Macy's, whatever that is, you know, the stores, Home Depot, because then you have some sense of security that it's already a known entity to you because you would have walked into the store. But regardless of what store you're going to online, when you go to the page that you are about to put in your credit card information, there are two things I want you to look for. The first is I want you to move your eyes up to the top of the screen where you see the website address box, and you'll notice there's a lot of jargon in there. You know, once you've typed in L.L. Bean and you go to the next page, it all becomes a bunch of coding. But at the top left-hand side, you'll see the letters HTTP. If you need to know, it stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol, but you never need to know that. But when you go to the page where you're about to put in your credit card information, there should now be an S, think of it S for safety, at the end of those letters. So instead of it being HTTP, it's HTTPS. And that means that that page, that specific page where you're about to put in your credit card information, is secure for you to do that. They've put in an extra layer of safety. So if you're on a website where that S doesn't appear after the HTTP, do not put in your credit card information.
Abby, what's your opinion about bill paying options? I'm thinking specifically of PayPal.
My issue with PayPal is not that I don't think PayPal is secure, but PayPal is a target. And PayPal is the highest rating pay website where scam emails get sent in its name. Uh-huh. So you have to, if you're going to use PayPal, just decide that you're going to, you know, basically ignore the emails that come in that look like they come from PayPal, because that's a huge scam. I've always felt like, you know, if I were going to rob a bank, I wouldn't rob a teeny-weeny bank on a corner without a lot of money in it. If I were going to break into a website, I wouldn't break into one website. I'd break into a website where it contains a lot of people's information. And I know PayPal is doing everything they possibly can to be secure. I personally prefer to just use my designated shopping credit card myself on the websites. I know PayPal is hugely convenient and lots of people love it, but to me it appears to be a target because it's containing all of this information.
Interesting.
Yes.
So, but I think again it's people's comfort level.
Right. Actually, my comfort level is the only place I ever shopped online is Amazon.
Right.
I've never gone to an individual store. I don't know how to. I've never paid attention enough. So I go to Amazon. If they don't have it, then, you know, I'll get it in the regular store.
And you buy it.
Exactly.
One other thing I want you to look for, though, if you choose to shop online, whether it's Amazon or another website, these websites hope to have you come back a second or third or fourth time, more than that. That's why they have you sign in using an email address and create a password with them. When you give them your credit card information for the first time, you'll notice that somewhere on that page, usually down at the very bottom, so you should scroll down to see it, will be a sentence that says something about offering to store your credit card information for future purchases. And to the left of whatever that sentence is will be a little box. And often there'll already be a check mark in that box, meaning they have chosen for you that they're going to store your credit card information for future purchases. Now, it's convenient for them to do that. I never have them store my credit card information, because if that website was hacked, that's what the hacker's going to look for, is the stored credit card information. So I click on the little check mark that they've already put in there to remove it, so I don't have them store my credit card information.
Okay. It's, I mean, mine is stored. So that's a good point, and I should take it out.
Well, it's convenient. There's
exactly.
A
I just push the button. They say, use the same card, and I say yes, and I buy
it. Right. And you could leave it. And again, if it's the designated shopping credit card, it's a little bit less of an issue if it should get, you know, hacked in some way. But I just decide that Amazon is the one website where they do store my credit cards. But every other one, I don't let them store my credit card.
Right. Yeah. I think the one point also that Abby made in the first segment, which is so important, have a designated card. I tell people to have a designated ATM card so that if anybody hacks that, you only have $300 or $400 in that account. Because ATM, trying to get money back from an ATM is different than a credit card. If they get $2,000 out of your bank account, the bank's not giving it back to you.
No.
Right. So the ATM, if you're going to use it for an ATM, you should only have a maximum $300, $400, $500. If it gets taken, you're done. But the
very
same goes
smart.
With you. Your credit card is a great idea.
Yeah. And the other thing, just, and this is not a hacker or a spam or anything, I want people to be very aware of what the shipping costs are. They vary dramatically from website to website. So when you see that, gosh, this website is so much less expensive, I'm going to go there. And then all of a sudden you get slammed with really high shipping costs at the end. Always be empowered that if you have, you know, put everything inside your shopping cart online and you're about to go through and you see that the shipping charges are astronomical, just stop it and go to another website. You'll be able to find the same items on another website, and you'll find that the shipping cost might not be as much. It's often the way these websites make money is actually through the shipping charges when they're really cutting the prices down.
Right. That I have seen. You know, that's even on Amazon.
Yeah.
That you'll get something for $10, and you'll say, well, how come the other guy's charging $14? But
right.
The $14, you know, you're paying $7 to have a $10 thing delivered to you.
That's right.
Yeah. And we're never going to read all of the terms and conditions, but I do think it's a good idea, especially if it's something expensive that you're buying or something that you're not completely convinced once you get it, it's going to be the right thing for you. Be sure you read their return policy.
Right.
And make sure that you can return it and know what that window of return is before you buy the item, especially with Christmas presents when you're buying them early. You want to be sure you've got enough time for the person you're giving it to be able to return the present afterwards if they don't like it.
Right, I agree. That's something one of my daughters does. She'll buy and send it back and buy it and send it back. I don't buy stuff that has to be returned, so I don't care. But that's a very important policy because then you're stuck with something, especially
yes,
people
exactly.
who buy clothes over on the line. You put it on, you don't
and
like it, you're stuck with it.
The one thing with Amazon, you know, I do think it's very helpful that items get reviewed. And when I just had to buy a washing machine. And I actually did. I bought it through Home Depot, but it's the same thing as Amazon. People take the time, bless their souls, to go into the website and actually give reviews between 0 stars to 5 stars. And sometimes you'll see that an item, 50% of the people were very happy, but there'll be a percentage of people that were really unhappy, and you'll see that there might be a pattern that this particular part breaks pretty regularly. And at least it alerts you to it if it should happen to you, even though 50% of the people didn't have it happen. So it's really helpful to read. Don't read just the best reviews. I always read the worst reviews and see what it is, if there's some sort of pattern that's going on with the item that I'm thinking of buying.
That's true. Because no matter what, but many times you'll order something and when you get it, it's not quite what you imagined. You know, it's still fine. I mean, so there is a definite difference of online versus in the store. You look and you touch it, and, you know, cashmere is cashmere and wool is wool. But when you get it home, it's like, this is not what I thought it was.
It's true with buying technology. I actually don't love people buying a first piece of technology online because they haven't had a chance to touch it or see it. And everybody's different with whether they... It's like buying a pair of shoes. You know, you got to try it on a little bit before you decide if it's the right thing for you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The other thing also, which at this time of year, is people have to pay close attention to unsolicited emails coming for shopping. Okay, because, right, I mean, if I go in looking for a sweater, then next thing you know, you're going to get some unsolicited emails showing sales for sweaters. I'm just making sweaters as an example.
It's true. You'll even see the sidebar advertisements will reveal what it was you looked at when you were shopping. It's very, and I hate that when you're buying Christmas presents and somebody who you bought a present for is sitting beside you at the computer and pop, their present goes up on the sidebar. I really find that to be phenomenally irritating, but there's nothing we can do about it.
That's what's paying the freight.
That's actually, that particular thing, it's amazing how they can keep up with you.
I know.
How you're being the big brother thing that, you know, I've gone online at home, and when I go to work, something will pop up. I said, I was looking at that 2 days ago at home. Similar email addresses. So.
Yes.
Which is why it goes back to, I really, you know, I want to empower people to all know everybody can use this technology, but you should use it within your comfort level. If that is really disconcerting to somebody, then I say don't shop online anymore, because they are, in fact, watching, following what you're doing, what your shopping patterns are. And if that somehow seems terribly invasive, go back to the old-fashioned way and go to the store and buy your things that way. You should never do something that really makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think that's very important, Abby, the comfort level. Every person should know what makes them antsy and what makes them feel okay.
Yes, and don't feel pressure. It's even about upgrading. I just did a post about whether you should upgrade to Windows 10 right now. And the fact is, I don't care if somebody loves it and really wants me to upgrade. Until I want to upgrade, I'm not going to do it. And it's very important that people feel as empowered about their technology as they are in every other aspect of their lives.
Right, because it's not a person, you can almost get bullied. I mean, if I don't like a person, you're going to stay away from that person.
Yeah.
So if you're uncomfortable with something on the computer, don't do it.
Yeah.
David's 100% right, and so is Abby. You have to have a comfort level.
Yeah.
If you don't have it, you don't feel good about it.
Walk away.
Walk away.
Yeah.
Go have that martini that Abby was talking about, or a chocolate chip cookie. This is amazing. But time goes so fast. We're basically out of time already. Abby, let me just give the email, not the email, the website, askabbystokes.com is the website. The book is This Thing On? And the new title is This Thing On? A Friendly Guide to Everything Digital for Newbies, Technophobes, and the Kicking and Screaming. Abby has been on the program before. Every time you come on, you bring more information, and it's always valuable information, which is, and for the senior population, they're new to this.
It's my favorite demographic.
Oh, it's the truth. Everybody, every day there's a new senior saying, let me try. Let me go to the tablet or the, you know, iPhone or something.
Yeah, John, as you say, you and I both learned something new today about moving the mouse up to the address of the sender to find.
That's tremendous.
Yes. Yes,
I agree. Abby, I want to wish you a great, great Thanksgiving.
You too.
And we'll definitely talk soon.
I would love that.
Thank you
so much.
Thank
Have
you.
A lovely holiday.
We're going to take a break now. You've been listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.